The Cozy Earth Mother's Day Sale is here. Their incredible bedding and loungewear is mind-blowingly satisfying to touch, and it is sourced from bamboo, and it's good for the planet, free from toxins, it gets softer with every single wash, and it's naturally temperature regulating. My mum approves, and yours will too. Listeners get 35% off any order at cozyearth.com using code GROWTH. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your show host. In this episode, I'm interviewing Frank Dick. He was on the show last week and he was the head coach of the British athletic team for over 15 years. They went through many Olympics during his time. He coached Boris Becker and cool teams such as the England World Cup rugby team. And he's a bit of a boss. He has now written a great book on things and generally just gives epic advice for life, business, or sports. And as such, is very welcome on the show. This interview today, we're talking to Frank about his 4 R's framework around how to just live life better and be an awesome human being. And it's a great way of looking at things. And I really, really appreciated it. And I'm so happy that he was on the show to teach me these things. And I really hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. I'd really recommend making notes and perhaps sharing this episode with a friend who you think would learn a lot from it as well. And with that, let's get into the episode.
I'd like to think if we've got a passion to win in life, you'll find a way. And that's really the essence of everything out there. Whatever winning is, I mean, I'm not suggesting that winning is always getting a gold medal, because for most of us, that won't happen very often in life. But getting to the top of our own mountain, being better today than we were yesterday, overcoming adversity, these are all wins. These are all the kind of wins that we seek and are for everybody in life. So prepare yourself for that.
Thanks. Yeah, it was going to be a question. And what would you say to someone who's read your books and about winning and being like, oh, I read your book and then I didn't go out and win everything straight away? And what would be like the best tips to sort of keep that kind of mentality of, okay, how do I just sort of win every day for myself kind of thing?
Well, I remember when my two daughters were growing up, every now and again they would hit a few problems and things. And I used to say, look, do you think your day was a disaster? Oh, yes. No. Take a piece of paper here. Split it down the middle, an A4 pad, and write, start at the top on the left-hand side, and write down everything that went right today. And then when you've finished that, go to the right side and see the things that didn't. And I'll bet you now, even before you start, that the left side wins. And that's what winning is. I mean, you can't possibly expect everything to go perfectly in life. It's just not going to do that. And you set yourself realistic goals. And the interesting thing to me about setting goals, by the way, when it comes to coaching athletes, is that I've always ended up setting them a slightly lower goal than they would set themselves. And it's almost as if I say, that's what you're going to go for, there's something at the back of the mind says, if he thinks that's what I'm worth, I'm going to go for even more. People who want to get on and achieve in life, to be who they can become, there's a drive in them that wants to go to be better. But it's a foolish person who always compares their achievement with someone else's. The fact is, you start off in life when you're working with young athletes for the first time, what you try to define achievement for them, and it's easy, of course, in track and field athletics because you can measure it by a clock, by the stopwatch, and by the measuring tape. Can you be better today than you were when you competed last time round? Because some point in life, you're going to be finished last in a competition. But did you give that your best performance today? Was that better than you've done before? Because that's all I can ask of you. I want you to be challenging you to go higher up your mountain. And
yeah.
The odd thing is, if you think about somebody who achieves a world record, right? All they've done themselves has been to be better than they were yesterday. So it actually counts at every level in life. Can you be better tomorrow than you are today? Can you do something differently tomorrow than you did today? Because I believe that that's possible for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And it's certainly, well, I didn't know, I wasn't around in the 80s and stuff, but it feels like it's harder today with things like social media and you're constantly comparing yourself to others and all this sort of stupid stuff that doesn't help with your mindsets.
Yeah, I think that's hurting people. And that's, so that's one of the reasons why you'll know your statistics better than I do in all of this stuff, is that I think it's causing mental and emotional damage. I think there must be some sense in life of personal achievement for yourself. It's got nothing to do with people outside there, because every single person, hopefully, who will watch this, and you and I and my family, we're all absolutely different. And so how can we all have exactly the same goals in life? How can we all expect to win the London Marathon? How can we all expect to get an Olympic gold? This is stupid. You've got to set your goals relative to you and who you can become. Do you have a picture of that? Do you have a picture of who you want to be? Which is not, I'd like to be better than you are at running a podcast.
Yeah, maybe you would be, to be fair.
That would be that good, yeah. I think people do set realistic goals, but very seldom in life do you really need somebody else to set the goal for you.
Yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, there's definitely a problem that's going on these days. And then back to an earlier point you said of recognizing your own wins and like the writing down what went right on one side and what went wrong on the other side. There's a really cool book where this guy talks about you just don't notice how much stuff goes right, as in you always think that the traffic lights turn red on you and that there's a big queue for when you're trying to buy something, but you never notice the time when you just walk up to the front of the queue because there's no queue there. You just kind of like walk up and do it and it takes like 2 seconds. You don't really go, oh, wait, I'm at the front of the queue today, because there's no one else there. But if you did that every time, you'd be like, oh, wow, like 9 times out of 10, there was no queue. I just never actually realized.
Well, it's a really good point. It seems that there's something in our nature that will look for the flaw rather than for when things are absolutely all right. So, for example, you'll notice a button missing in your shirt, but you'll very seldom comment on the fact that your shirt has got all the buttons on there. And you'll notice that somebody's got a pimple or something, but you won't make any kind of comment when there's no pimple there. I mean, there's something in our nature that seems to want to find something that's not there or something that's wrong. But should we not take some time to just, if you like, celebrate the good stuff that's out there? If you're like seduced into the errors of life, take time to look at the good bits and ask yourself, how can we make that better? Rather than, oh, there's a bit of a problem across there. We'll have to deal with that. And when things are going right, can you make them better? Can you do things differently? I think in every situation in life, win, lose, or draw out there, you have to be able to ask yourself afterwards, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? Learn from that and then do something with it. In fact, I can't remember if we discussed this the last time we were together, but I tried to work through 4 R's in myself and in trying to get other people to think about this when they go through anything from a meeting to a podcast to a competition. And the 4 R's are, first of all, reason. Why am I doing this? What's the purpose of today? And what's the outcome I'm looking for? Get the reason right. Next R is reality. What do I have to do and how do I have to do it? Who's involved and so on in order to create, to reach the reason? The 3rd R is reflection. First of all, in advance, be prepared to learn. That's in terms of attitude, but also get the machinery there so you can learn. But when it comes to reflection, what did I learn from this? And response, what am I going to do differently or better as a consequence of all this? So your reason, reality, reflection, and response. And oddly enough, I find that last point the one that a lot of people miss out on. They don't make a commitment following the lesson to do something with it. And I think if you keep that simple little guide at the back of your mind when you go into any situation, when you come to the end, you'll always be moving on to better ground afterwards.
Nice. So I was thinking, so you're saying how we notice like the little flaws that are wrong, but then we should have the mindset that we always want to improve. And like, as a coach, you're obviously trying to help people improve and you're always noticing the flaws that they have, but you have to sort of spin it in a way that, oh, you're doing really well. this is how you can do better, rather than like, oh, you did this wrong, this was terrible kind of thing.
No, you've got to be honest with people. You've got to be candid. There's got to be a candor there. If we don't have these honest conversations, these candid conversations, saying things the way they are, without being cruel, rude, disrespectful, whatever, get rid of that kind of behavior. But you're candid with people. If there's no candor, there's no honesty. If there's no honesty, there's no trust. If there's no candor in a team situation, there's no accountability. If there's no accountability, there's no respect. And the other thing to remember when you are in coaching, Sam, is that you don't have to be sick to get better, right? The number of times I see a coach who will focus in on a flaw straight away and try to make that right. Well, I've got a simple rule for this. When you're trying to improve people and make them strong, make them better, understand this. They are with you because of what they're strong at, right? You selected them for your team because of what they're good at. So your first priority as a coach is to work on what they're good at to make it better, right? That's your first priority. Your second priority is to work on a weakness only if it interferes with their strength. And the third order of priority is if their weakness is causing a problem for other people's strengths in the team. So you work on the strength first. On the back of that, you work on a weakness if it's interfering with their strength. On the back of that, you work on the weakness if it's hurting other people in the team.
So what would you say, like, if I was able to have like a magic wand and bless myself with one key ability in my mind, what would you say was like the one thing I should be able to give myself to be able to sort of have more motivation on something or to ignore something? And if I could just have like mind control on one specific ability, what would that one ability be that's most important?
Well, it's a good point, because I think when you're, whether it's in business or whether it's out there in the arena, you know that there's a task that you're going to have to fulfill. You know what your task is. And you've done all the work for it. You've trained for it. You've done the tactical stuff on it. You're hopefully brilliant at your basics, because if you don't have the basics in place, forget everything else. You've got all of this stuff in place. And now there's the whole issue of commitment and intent. You're focused in the task. And that's what you're going to have to achieve. Now, people think, well, that's all you need. Nope. You need something else to be going on in parallel with that. You must have a pretty sophisticated skill at how to ignore or how to manage the distractions. The distraction could be what an opponent does to you. The distraction can be the weather. The distraction can be how you felt this morning. Distraction can be what somebody said to you. If you let any of these distractions come into your thinking when you're trying to focus on this task, then you're going to be in trouble, because you dilute things straight away. It's kind of like when these distractions are around, if you can see them and are aware of them, you start thinking about them. If you start thinking about them, in many instances, that has an emotional consequence. And once the emotional consequence begins to be evident in you, inside you, and you're aware of it, then you're going to have problems, because you have to be able to control all of that, or you can't keep your mind on the task at hand. And so emotional control begins to be a critical thing out there. And there are different edges to this. I mean, if you're in a game, and in my mind, you can be particularly vulnerable in terms of that emotional control when you've just conceded a point, or a goal or whatever, or whether you've just got one. Why? Because there could be an emotional consequence to each. When somebody delivers a coup de grace and you're suddenly back on your heels because you didn't expect them to be breaking through and getting that point, if you begin to focus and think about that all the time, and you begin to get to a point of some kind of a despair, then your energies are sapping, you're not concentrating in your job, and you can be smacked. For example, earlier this season, I remember Manchester United playing Tottenham Hotspur. Manchester United were holding Spurs. It was kind of an even game, and then Spurs scored. And 2 minutes later, they scored again. And so, to me, that's a clear example of you've allowed the situation to get into your emotions. There's a consequence to that. You're not concentrating on the job at hand. Smack. But it can happen the other way around. So if you think about the European Cup, a few years ago when England had scored against Iceland. Iceland scored 2 minutes later. And oddly enough, in the most recent World Cup, when Argentina scored against Iceland, Iceland came back and scored in a couple of minutes again. So you've got to be very careful about how you manage the emotions around that. You've got to be able to draw your brain into refocusing, reestablishing, get rid of all that stuff. It's a piece of history. There's nothing you can do about history. It's gone. The only thing you can deal with is now and how it will affect the future. And you've got to get your brain into that straight away. So this business of emotional management and control is really, really important, Sam. And if we're not careful, it can catch us out. If you want to take that outside the arena and into a longer term kind of situation, I was remember listening to a conversation last year when a chap said to me, you know, success can derail progress. Now, I found that an odd thing to say, because I thought I was brought up to think that success breeds success. But only in the short term, only if you can feed off that and use that as a new energy that, well, if that was good, how can we be even better? Can you keep that? Can you keep your foot on the accelerator? The other side of that, of course, is that you can get seduced by it. You can just get seduced by success. And if you're not careful, you think, well, if we just keep going this way, we'll rule the world. But the fact is, life is changing round about you all the time. And what brought you success yesterday will not necessarily bring you anything tomorrow.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode with Frank. So let me do a quick recap, because I thought this was just gold the whole way through. The first point is, winning is not about achieving someone else's goal. It's about overcoming your hindrances and difficulties and being better today than you were yesterday. Very similar to the other podcast I run about being wiser than yesterday, but moving on. Second, we must look at the brighter side. Try writing on paper what went right today on the left-hand side of the paper and what went wrong on the right-hand side. Once you've written things on both sides of the paper, ask yourself how we can make it better rather than focusing on the problems itself. The third point is setting goals relative to you and who you can become. Imagine a picture of who you want to be. And the fourth point is one that I like the most of the four R's, certainly if this applies to you. These are the reason, reality, reflection, and response. Reason to ask why you are doing this. Reality is where you ask what and how do I do the things that I have to do. Reflection is assessing your learnings and the response to know what you are going to do differently. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive into all the tips and tricks you can use to make yourself better and grow. If you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and a review. That's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for listening, and join me on Reason FM if you want to chat podcasts or winning strategies. Take it easy.